So we had the officials here the last few days. They're doing the best they can to work through situations. Remember, the game's fluid. So to put a stamp on this is absolute, it doesn't happen. There's a human element of error there that's going to take place, whether it's on the players' side of it or whether it's on the officials' side, it's going to take place. So you just got to kind of work through it. Preseason, I think, will be real important with some of the new rules, yeah.
That's Andy Reid, Chiefs head coach, on some of the rule changes and how the players are adapting to those in training camp for the Chiefs. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, again brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs. 9:10 is our time here on Kitty Country 94. We'll shift into and stay with the Chiefs, and then we're going to wrap the Sports Ticket talking about MLB trade deadline, which really likes to not a lot going on right now in the sporting world. Local sports, we're just kind of waiting around for really high school fall sports practices to get started, which will be in about a couple weeks here. So we'll keep an eye on all that. Once they get underway, we'll start talking with some coaches and see what their prognoses are for the 2018 fall sports season. So that's what's coming up here as far as local sports is concerned. But again, we'll stay with the Chiefs here. Some observations from BJ Kissel, who's there at Chiefs.com from Monday in practice. It was a lighter day of practice as they went with being in pads for 2 days, but they were given lighter practice shorts and just in shorts, and the practice began an hour later yesterday. They'll have the day off today and be back at it on Wednesday. So, again, lighter practices here at the start of the week. Kareem Hunt did take some reps yesterday over the last week. He had been limited at practice because of a hamstring injury, that he suffered in the offseason. Again, cost him some days of practice during mini camp as well. But Kareem Hunt did take reps on Monday and took quite a few of them, some of them during the 11-on-11 periods. He had only participated in the individual portions of practice in the last few days, so he did get in there and in the mix. Cam Irving has been all over the place in the offensive line. He took some reps with the first-team offense at center to open up training camp, but he's been moved to different places on the last few days. He's taken reps at left guard, right tackle, left tackle. Cam Irving came in when Mitch Morse got injured, and Morse is back this year, so Irving will be playing some different places on the line and hoping to be maybe a jack of all trades, as the Chiefs have seen in the past with guys like Zach Fulton and Jeff Allen, who played different positions there on the offensive line. A couple starting cornerbacks snagged some interceptions on Monday there. Still a few plays that got the crowd going. Patrick Mahomes hit Tyreek Hill on another deep touchdown. And again, two starting corners, Kendall Fuller and Steven Nelson, both walked away with interceptions. Nelson has had three interceptions in camp so far. And Fuller's had some great one-on-one reps against Sammy Watkins in the last few days there. So we're going to keep an eye on what they do with Kendall Fuller, whether they put him in the slot or they put him as the number one corner. We'll keep an eye on all that as the season goes on. And just a couple injury updates. Second-year linebacker Kimi Oligwe didn't practice on Monday because of a foot strain. Cornerback Ashton Lampkin was out with a knee. Linebacker Reggie Ragland still out with a knee injury. Cornerback Keith Reeser with a quad strain, and tailback Sharkhandrick West with a concussion. We're not on the field again. Kareem Hunt was limited there on Monday in practice. So one of the big things that everybody's wondering about is the Chiefs' defense, and can they make the improvements that they need to make? They said in the offseason that it was a personnel issue, not a coach issue, so Bob Sutton is back. And asked really basically what the most important part is of what the defense needs to do this year. And obviously every defense centers around getting to the quarterback and maybe getting sacks and a lot of sacks. And Bob Sutton answered that question and kind of spoke about what's important in that aspect of the game for the Chiefs.
You know, sacks are, to me, are interesting. I mean, they're not the would we love to have a million sacks? Yeah, I would love that. But the most important thing to us is always affecting the quarterback. You know, that's the key deal, and that certainly comes through pressure. Sacks are one way to do it, but you got to do it sometimes with tight coverage, sometimes disguise, whatever it is. But you want to affect the quarterback, and obviously you can affect his timing if you don't have to sack him. But as long as you're moving him and making him get off that spot a little bit, you can affect him there.
Or you can just, like, not even try to pressure him like Tom Brady and just get picked apart. Can do that too, Bob, because you've done it before. got to affect the quarterback. How did you affect the quarterback anytime you've ever played the Patriots? It finally did get to Brady kind of late last year, and that's kind of what turned it around. Yeah. Kareem Hunt had a huge game in the opener last year when the Chiefs ended up getting the win over the Patriots. But I don't know. Some of the things when you listen to Bob Sutton and Andy Reid both, it's just like, okay, then do it. We got to affect the quarterback. We're going to put Justin Houston in coverage a lot. It's going to be fun. We need to affect the quarterback, but we're going to let Ben Roethlisberger throw the ball down the field, and Houston's going to be downfield covering Brown. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fine. Nothing's going to be wrong with it.
For Brown?
Yeah. It was like, it just, you just kind of shake your head sometimes at some of the things the coaches are saying. That's the most aggravating thing as a Chiefs fan is, I was telling, you know, this morning when I was playing that interview with Andy Reid, and I'm like, how do I get something from this? Like, I just listened to 5.5 minutes of Andy Reid, and he gave me nothing. Like, there's nothing with substance in there. And finally found out, oh, they changed some rules. We'll use this cut. It's just, it's annoying sometimes. And it, but like I said, I mean, don't kid yourself. They're not the only coaches that are like that, that aren't given much. Like, if I had to get a cut from Greg Popovich every day on this show, there'd probably be a lot of the same stuff that Andy Reid's doing. It'd just be more miserable and groaning and upset about having to do it. Yeah. And but you do get some gold every now and then from Pop. You really don't get gold every now and then from Andy Reid. It's
not
pretty
really.
Much the same thing all the time. So, yeah, you just got to – I guess you got to take what you can get. Now, if I had a coach like Steve Kerr that I could get stuff from every day, that'd be perfect. Like, he'll say whatever he wants to say about the game of basketball – about something, stuff that's not about basketball, which is a lot lately.
Right.
And even Greg Popovich is under that umbrella, too, where he's more of his quotables are not really about the game. Mm-hmm. They're about a lot of the things that are going on in the country right now, which some people don't like. And I'm one of those people that I want to keep it. I really like to keep my politics out of my sports. This is the way I am, the way I've always been. But, they, you know, these people have their platform to do that. They have the freedom of speech just like all of us. So if they're asked a question, they're going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably if they're asked a question like that, they're going to answer it with their full truth of how they can answer, because it doesn't affect anything on their team. Like, they're not giving away any secrets by saying this is how they stand politically, you know?
Right, right.
But, you know, it's just, it's interesting when you listen to some of the coaches cut Bob Sutton. Show it to me on the field, Bob. I really don't even care what you say. I mean, does anybody honestly care what Bob Sutton is saying unless he actually goes out and print? And you can say that about any coach or player. We don't care what you're saying. Just go out and do it. Get it done.
Sure.
That's for Andy Reid, the whole thing for me all the time. We got to get it fixed after you lost to the Titans in the playoffs. Yeah, you got to get it fixed, but you don't have until 7 months to get it fixed now.
Right. That's a process that should have started, yeah. You know, listening to Andy Reid sometimes reminds me of Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham. When he's on the bus rehearsing the lines that he'd say to the media when he gets interviewed, when he gets to the show, I'm just here to do my part for the team and try to do the best we can and, you know, blah 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 blah.
It's just like,
man,
obviously they're canned, and it's just you try to catch coaches off guard and try to get better questions. And I think a lot of the people that are asking the questions in Kansas City have fallen into the trap too. Like, they're so tired of the same answers that they don't even know what to ask anymore. And they just play along with it. And
they may think it doesn't matter what they're going to ask. They're going to get what they're going to get anyway.
Yeah. But, and so it's just like, you're not even really asking anything of substance now anymore. I mean, once you play the games, there's better opportunities to actually ask those questions.
Right.
There should be plenty of questions to be able to be asked instead of just, I mean, it's just general stuff in these. I mean, you were listening to part of that this morning.
Yeah.
It's like, ask me some questions about some players that are standing out. Like, if you got media availability and he's not going to tell you anything without ask, what do you think about Spencer Ware right now coming back from injury? You know, like, things like that. What's he looking like now?
What do you think about your new look secondary? We've talked for 2 weeks already. How many questions are there surrounding the Chiefs defense? There's plenty of questions to ask.
Yeah. And he's the head coach. You can ask him about the defense too. It doesn't just have to be Bob Sutton.
You know. Well, I know the Chiefs are your favorite team, but where does Bob Sutton rank on your list of favorite defensive coordinators?
Uh close to Greg Robinson. If that tells you anything.
So not
2003.
Your, so not your favorite.
When the Chiefs were so good and they could do everything that they couldn't stop anybody. That's where it's getting to. It's pretty sad. So, yeah.
It'd be like asking me where David Beatty ranks on my list of all-time favorite college football coaches.
No, Monty Kiffin would be probably on the top of my defensive coordinator list because I was a Buccaneers fan for a period of time there. And, man, he had some good ones. But
oh, yeah.
Bob Sutton, I don't know that he's ever had, like, a unbelievably solid defense. He likes to take chances, and he seems like the last three years or so he's been taking the wrong chances. Like,
yeah,
it's not how you want to go about it. But
yeah.
So we'll see if they make the improvements. But like I said, they've got to be middle of the pack or better, I would think, for him to be seriously considered to keep his job. I mean, if it's personnel, then they got to get the job done this year with the new personnel that's in there.
Right.
So if they don't, then bye-bye, Bob. But
Bob.
Probably won't be that. But
bye.
Because Andy's a little bit too loyal probably to his guys, too. So.
You can just see that as being like one of those old skits out of Saturday Night Live, you know, when they're getting off the plane. Or getting on the plane, and you're going to say he's trying to get on, you know. But we've got all these new players. Bye.
Yeah.
but the draft's coming up, and you... Bye.
Yeah. Well, you just never know. I mean, they got rid of John Dorsey at the weirdest time in the world after he'd already finished the draft and went and got guys. Whatever. Yeah.
And you brought something up earlier, too, that is funny because I just commented on a post on social media yesterday. These people were having this debate back and forth, yada, yada, yada. And I said, I just wish they'd keep their politics out of my football.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, and I know that that's their
I do this platform. Stuff for a living.
Yeah.
I watch football to not.
Yeah. It's like, I know that's their platform, but it's just like, for me, that's not why I'm there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and say they can't do it. I'll never say that, it's kind of like, I don't need it.
Come on, man. Time and place.
Well, and then there's, like, people that say they're turning against Kerr and Popovich for some of the things they're saying, and I'm like, don't really care what his political views are.
Yeah.
He's there to coach a team, and if he's coaching the team that I'm a Spurs fan, so if he's coaching the team the way I think the team should be coached, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. You never know where this is going to go, but... I mean, if he's coaching the team the way he's supposed to be coached, then that's all I care about. If they're winning games, if they're making the improvements, whatever.
Well, you know, and the thing about Steve Kerr, maybe in a little bit of a unique situation there in the Bay Area, because the core of that fan base probably does care what his political views are
to a
certain extent.
Yeah.
But
depending on where you're at, it probably does. And that's probably why he gets more questions about it, too.
It very well could be.
Well, and he gets more questions about it because he actually answers the questions.
That makes a difference, too.
And he's not afraid to admit that he's not a Trump fan. You know, like, that's pretty clear with Popovich and Kerr.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to ask the questions and they're going to answer them, I'll keep asking the questions. But it's not something that I'll get all gung-ho about when they're... asking those kind of questions and answering them. It was funny because, like I said, for me, it doesn't matter what my coach is, what happens within the organization and things like that. As long as they're doing their job, I don't really care about all the sideshows. This funny thing I saw the other day on Twitter, and I'm trying to find out where that was. I know. Oh, here we go. So there's this thing. I don't even know what the big lead is, but it's a verified Twitter page. It's a website, apparently some kind of sports commentary website.
Okay.
So the headline for this article from the Big Lead says, Greg Popovich's ego cost the Spurs their future and fans should be outraged. I love it when people that are outsiders that have no idea what's going on with the Spurs fans' mind and, or, you know, this would contain to any team that we're talking about if you're a fan of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody comes and writes an article like this or writes an opinion piece like this, and it says this one is on Pop and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I've seen, and I know somebody was, the person I saw tweet this probably was joking, but said something about the Spurs aren't even a functioning franchise right now, so you need to cheer for a different team or whatever. That was probably said in jest, but this thing right here, it's like, I love it when people write these kind of stories and opinion pieces and tell fans what they should feel.
Yeah.
I've never in my life came on this show or written a blog. I wrote a blog probably 7 or 8 years ago, kind of taking a shot at the whole state pride thing, you know? Like, you should cheer for Kansas if they're playing in the tournament. You should cheer for KU because they're in the state. They're, you know, should cheer for your state. And so I wrote a blog about it. I'm not really cheering for my state. That's a university in the state. And, you know, and this and that. So, but I never said in that blog, like, who telling people who they should or should not cheer for, what they should or should not decide as a fan. And it's just like, I retweeted that, and this is what I put. I said, don't read this. So I'm just retweeting this to show the point we've reached. Outsiders telling fans of a team or franchise how they should feel about their fandom.
Right.
And I put, you guys know how I feel about Pop, and I put emojis of 5 trophies and 5 rings. This guy,
pretty simple,
was the general manager and made himself the coach.
Yeah.
And they're a dynasty because of it.
It's a pretty good move.
And then everybody's got this weird slanted view of what happened in history sometimes, you know. Like, they'll put their own spin on it.
Oh, yeah, the old revisionist historians.
And Greg Popovich was part of the turnaround of the Spurs and turning them around from being a bad team to going to a good team. David Robinson got hurt, and they tanked a year. I mean, this is a team that was close to the finals a couple different times. Yeah. I mean, a couple things happened here or there in the early to mid-90s. Yeah. This team's got a chance to make it to the finals. David Robinson was a scoring leader and MVP in 1995. And it's like they tanked because he got hurt and missed most of the season.
Yeah.
They got lucky and got the number one pick and picked Tim Duncan, and that's all it took. You got Tim Duncan and David Robinson's back. How hard was that to turn around the franchise? I'm not saying that Pop didn't do a good job, because turning around, it wasn't a turnaround. It was an elevation of what the franchise needed.
Right.
And that's where he took them.
Yeah, and we got our healthy MVP back.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, Tim Duncan
and
David Robinson. You've got the Twin Towers, part two. In the NBA right now, and the way the game was played then, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that was going to be a pretty good team if somebody any good could coach him. And they found one of the best coaches in the history of the NBA. He found himself, I guess you could say, and turned that around. So it's like, I like people that revise what actually happened. Ooh, that's not really what happened.
Yeah.
Sean Elliott's on the team. I mean, they got all these guys that are solid. Bringing a guy here or there, they went in 99 in the strikes or the lockout shortened season. They went in 2003, 2005, and 2007, and 2014. They've got 5 titles. I mean, it's like, don't tell me how I should feel about my fandom.
Yeah.
But that's the point we've reached, though, because most NBA fans, I would say that this day and age, the majority of fans in the NBA aren't riding on a team. They're riding on a player. So you've got people that have been Cavs fan to Heat fan to Cavs fan to Lakers fan. Like, they're not a fan of that team. They're just a fan of that team because LeBron's playing for them. You got a Nuggets fan that turns into a Knicks fan in my family. Well, they're not cheering for the Nuggets and Knicks. They're cheering for Carmelo.
Right.
He didn't move to Oklahoma City, from what I understand. He's still a Knicks fan. But so then he does latch on once. I mean, you have those times where you follow this guy and then he goes to a team that you can latch on and actually say, okay, I'm just going to be a fan of this team now.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't see that a lot now. But Spurs fans would be the least people. Like, don't tell Spurs fans how to feel, because nobody's a Spurs fan. Like, you don't go into it this day and age. Like, I started being a Spurs fan when I enjoyed how they played the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, because they were a defensive-minded team. They wanted to do it right on both ends of the floor. And that's really where I gravitated and became a Spurs fan.
Just sucked.
But in 2018, nobody's just going to decide to be a Spurs fan, okay? It's not happening. So don't tell Spurs fans that have been Spurs fans how they should feel about Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich, because you know what? I was a Spurs fan before Kawhi Leonard, and I'll be a Spurs fan way after I even think about Kawhi Leonard anymore. You know, it's just like, that's not what it's about for me, and that's not what any fandom should be about. If you're in it, you're in it. Don't let other people tell you how you should feel about being a fan.
Right.
Don't let other people tell you who you should cheer for because they're in your state. And read my blog sometime. It would still be pertinent today. It's not some of the information's not pertinent about, you know, who the teams were that were playing, but it was when KU was about to lose to Purdue in the NCAA tournament that year.
Well, again, Glenn Robinson.
Yeah. No, in
since
Robbie
then.
Hummel.
Oh, Hummel. Yeah, that team. Since then.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
it was
not way back. They're just about, yeah, so back. Just,
yeah, about 7 years, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. And they're about to lose to Purdue, and they came back and won. And K-State fans were on social media saying, oh, I wish they would have lost, whatever. It's just normal. That happens.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, you cheer for your state or move to Indiana or something like that. And I was like, no, cheer for KU or move to Indiana. Like, so, I mean, I always made the comparison of, like, how far do we go with this?
Right.
Do I cheer for my county in high school sports? Do I cheer for my league in high school sport? You know what I mean? Like, because I know a lot of people that down in southeast Kansas, a certain team that Lakeside was playing in the playoffs 1 year, mm-hmm. that they had beaten a team from the same league that they played in the sub-state round. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be hard to put this together probably in 2011. And the team that they lost, that Lakeside beat, was cheering for Lakeside to beat the team that was in their league in the sub-state mm-hmm. round. And it was like, how far do you go with that? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm saying I got knocked out of my sub-state tournament, but I'm going to go cheer for Ellis now. What?
Right.
Like, none of that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
And so don't tell me how to be a fan or who to cheer for. There's not a lot of things that grind my gears. I mean, you know me. There's not a lot of things that get me riled up.
No,
but I mean, if you tell me who I should cheer for,
but
and
but
how
the ones that do
fandom,
get the job done.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares if you're scoring touchdowns?
I was just That's like, still my favorite.
I mean, like, don't tell me.
I'm gonna get mad now. He announces it, Pee. He warns you first.
This is Greg Popovich's fault, and I should be livid. I should be outraged that Greg Popovich let Kawhi Leonard go. I should be outraged at Kawhi Leonard because he refused to play.
Right.
Okay, that's not what this is about. I mean, play, dude. You're under contract. If I'm outraged at anybody, it's Kawhi. It's not Greg Popovich. Yeah. Not the Spurs organization for how they handled it. We've moved on. That's the biggest thing. Like, why is this even out? I mean, Spurs fans and Spurs have moved on.
Yeah, And I don't know why anybody would be trying to tell somebody who they should or shouldn't cheer for, particularly when it comes to the NBA and people that spent the last 10 years being a Cleveland fan and then a Heat fan and then a Cleveland fan again and now a Lakers fan.
I've got about 20 hard years as a Spurs fan, and you're trying to tell me how to be a Spurs fan.
You're buying a new jersey every 4 years, dude, telling me who I should cheer for. Come on.
Come on, man. Anyway, I'll jump off of the soapbox on that deal, and we'll move on to our last topic here. I have one other thing to talk about in the NFL where, if it wasn't for the Minneapolis miracle last year in the playoffs, I don't know if this would have happened, but you never know. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs has agreed to a 5-year extension worth $81 million that ties him to the Vikings for the next 6 seasons.
Wow.
$40 million in guaranteed money for Stephon Diggs.
It's a long contract.
I'm not.
For a guy like Stephon Diggs.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking, what kind of money they're throwing around for some of these guys now in the NFL offseason? I mean, a lot of these guys are getting, and the thing that's changing about a lot of this is the guaranteed money.
Uh-huh.
There's so much guaranteed money now in the NFL contracts this summer. Stephon Diggs didn't even have – he had 849 yards receiving last year.
Yeah. This is going to be his third year.
Catches, yeah.
Is that right?
It'll be his fourth year.
Oh, sorry. There's only two lines came up at first.
Yeah,
this
he had
720
in his first, 903 in his second, 849. He never had a 1,000-yard receiving season.
Almost got there year before last.
Yeah.
But.
And he's got 15 total touchdowns. I mean, this isn't counting postseason, which he had the big touchdown last year.
Right. His touchdown production last year was up. It was double from what had ever been before, but it's still just 8.
Yeah.
I mean, which is respectable, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's $40 million guaranteed money for a receiver.
It's not top 5 receiver money in the league good.
Adam Thielen had 1,276 yards last season for the Vikings, and Diggs is making more money than him. Thielen got a Thielen, or I think it's Thielen.
That's
how
you
say it. And
that
TH is a T for me out here in North Central Kansas, but I think it's Thielen. But 1,276 yards, and he signed a 4-year contract last year, extension with $22 million.
So what's the average then on Diggs's contract then over the 6 years?
The extension. Let me see if it says it in here. It should probably say it. So actually, it doesn't. So. It'd be 5-year extension for 81,
5 for 81. So just so about, you could average that out. 17, roughly,
yeah.
close.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that puts him, like, among the top 3-4 yeah. receivers in the league. Antonio Brown's averaging $17 million a year.
Yeah.
He's number one right now.
It's
Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, you know.
Stephon
Diggs doesn't fit in that category for
no.
me.
Wait,
DeAndre Hopkins?
Listen, I'll tell you how he doesn't fit in that category. A couple years back, I had a big problem with my fantasy league. And
yeah, you did.
I wanted to get out of it. So, guy offered me Stephon Diggs for Mike Evans.
Yeah.
And I clicked yes because I was like, yeah, I'll trade anybody for anybody right now.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, so money-wise, that trade would go through right now today. Like, nobody would even complain about it. Nobody would be like, ah, no, that's not fair. It's not fair. Like, Mike Evans is better than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just don't know if he'd get that much money if it wasn't for that one catch that he made.
Hey, man.
And the big play that he made.
Whatever
works. The quarterback
works.
That threw them the ball is not even there anymore. He's yeah. Kirk Cousins is going to be throwing them the ball.
Sammy Watkins is the fifth highest paid receiver
yeah,
in the league.
Yeah, and I knew that he was getting quite a lot of money. And, yeah, I
got Stephon Diggs now listed, updated as 9. His average is 14.4.
So that he probably doesn't have a lot coming in this year compared to what the extension would be.
Compared to what the extension, yes. Once that kicks in, yeah, then he'll be top 3. Well, depending on the signings that take place between now and next year when that kicks in, you never know. You know, Mike Evans or, you know, Julio Jones is in a contract year, you know, that number's going to go away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his base salary this year is $2 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's quite the bump.
So yeah. $2 million and then it bumps up. Like yearly cash is $16.9 million, but that's signing bonus. That's for the Vikings, not for Diggs. Mm-hmm. That's what their cap number would be with bonus, cap hit, mm-hmm. all that dead cap money that if they would get rid of them would be $16.9 million against their cap. But his signing bonus is $3.1 million this year and his salaries too.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, it's insane.
I hope one of these days I can make a big catch during the show.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, get a sevenfold salary increase.
That just came down here this morning, so I figured I'd talk about it a bit. I mean, that's insane. Like, I don't know why they're giving that kind of money to Stephon Diggs. But, Vikings can do what they want. I'm not going to tell them how to run their organization. I'm not a Vikings fan, so I don't have to do that. I was a Vikings fan for, like, 2 weeks last year. Terrence Newman plays for the Vikings, so I kind of like him. I was hoping they'd make the Super Bowl. But Stephon Diggs, big contract extension, 5 years, $81 million for the Minnesota Vikings. All right, so the big story right now, obviously, is the trade deadline, which is at 3 o'clock this afternoon in Major League Baseball. It's the non-waiver trade deadline, excuse me. So, like we talk about a lot, it's kind of misleading. You can still trade. People go crazy sometimes. Like, trade deadline's over. How'd they make that trade? Well, you can trade him if they clear through waivers. If nobody says they want him on waivers, so I can trade this guy, Joe Mauer, as an example. I can trade Joe Mauer to the Pirates from the Twins, and if somebody steps up, like the Phillies say, no, I claim Joe Mauer. It has to go through the whole process. If he gets through, if he clears all the waivers, there's obviously a pecking order on all that. You'd have to look all that. I'm not going to look all that up right now, but that can be done after the non-waiver trade deadline, which is at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So there's a lot out there right now. First of all, let's go through some of the trades that actually happened already. Last night, several trades were made. Yesterday, before the trade deadline here, Ian Kinsler is going to the Red Sox from the Angels. I only see Kinsler play, you know, on a season like this when the Royals aren't good, I'm not watching a lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So
not either.
I watch a little bit of the Royals. So the only time I see Kinsler is if he's playing the Royals. Ian Kinsler is a Royal killer. Like, always has. Even like, Detroit, Texas.
No, it just doesn't matter
Angels,
where he
doesn't
goes.
Matter where he's at. He's a Royal killer. Apparently, he is not a Major League Baseball killer. He's hitting .239 with 13 homers and 32 RBI this season. But the Red Sox needed somebody for depth at second base because Pedroia is on the DL right now. So they're trying to keep where they need to be and putting it in here, trying to get a championship this year. They do have the best record in baseball, but the Red Sox picked up Ian Kinsler for pitching prospects Ty Buttery and Williams Juarez yesterday. The Yankees making moves still. The Yankees, are they going to have a farm system left?
I don't know.
The Yankees traded again.
The same thing about the Royals 2 years ago.
But the thing with the Yankees is they can afford to do it. If they don't have them, they can just...
He's got the money.
We got all these guys. We'll trade you, and we'll just buy people later if we can't afford, if we don't have anybody left. Lance Lynn is headed to the Yankees from the Twins for minor league prospects Tyler Austin and Luis Rijo. Lance Lynn spent 6 years with the Cardinals, had a pretty good career there in St. Louis. This year he's just 7-8 with a 5.10 ERA with the Twins. But the Yankees are looking to bolster their pitching here and trying to make a run as well to get into the postseason. And it's going to be a fight between the Yankees and Red Sox there because neither one of them probably want to play that one game wild card. Nobody does. So they're trying to get their team where they can. The Yankees also sent Adam Warren, relief pitcher, to the Mariners. They got a $1.25 million in international bonus pool money with that trade. And Seattle got Zach Duke from the Twins for minor leaguers Chase DeYoung and Ryan Costello. Monday's other trade, we'll talk about two more, but this one came in the National League in the NL East. Leading Braves acquired outfielder Adam Duvall from the Reds for three minor leaguers. Duvall hit 15 homers this season, but is batting just .205. We've talked a lot about how this season has kind of gone. There's all these home runs, but there's an insane amount of strikeouts. People aren't hitting the ball well. Look at these trades that people are making. It shows you that the emphasis is not getting on base and getting hits right now. We traded the prime trades yesterday. Kinsler's hitting .239, 13 home runs, and Duvall for the Reds this season hitting .205 with 15 homers. And these are the guys people are adding to bolster their lineup at the deadline to try to make a run to win a World Series. It's insane. One other trade yesterday, and this one's raised the attention of a lot of people in Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros bolstered their bullpen. They traded former closer Ken Giles, minor league pitchers Hector Perez, and David Paulino to the Blue Jays for closer Roberto Osuna. Osuna's 23 years old, but he has not pitched in 75 games. He was suspended due to the MLB's domestic violence policy. He played in 15 games before suspension. He had 9 saves this season before all that went down. And so now the question is, what do you do? From the standpoint of, the Astros are going to sit here. They're going to get a lot of flack now for trading for a guy that was suspended 75 games for domestic abuse. So he's eligible to pitch again in the big league starting on Sunday. Made 6 scoreless one-inning appearances in the minors since July 14th, the last 3 in AAA. He has not pitched in the majors since May 6th. That was 2 days before he was put on administrative leave. Was charged with 1 count of assault there in Toronto, a case that remains pending. So, Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins said, quote, "This has been exceptionally difficult. This was a negotiated agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association." Astros pitcher Justin Verlander said, quote, "It's a tough situation. I think the thing for us to remember is that the details haven't come to light. We don't know the whole story. Obviously, I've said some pretty inflammatory things about stuff like this in the past, and I stand by my words. But I think with an ongoing case as this one, just see what happens. But it will be interesting. I think he plans to talk to us when he gets here, and we'll go from there and see what happens." In March, Verlander strongly criticized former Detroit Tigers prospect Danny Vasquez on Twitter after video surfaced of him allegedly assaulting a woman. Okay, so this is a problem we have, though. And I'm not trying to sit here and try to defend anybody that's accused of domestic violence, domestic assault on a woman or a woman on a man or whatever. Mm-hmm. But is there a better way? I mean, the guy lost 75 games and the thing hasn't even gone to court yet. The details aren't done. There's nothing that's happened yet. So it's like, how do you deal with that? 75 games is nearly half of the season.
Yeah.
And nothing's out there yet.
No.
His next court appearance is Wednesday, a case that remains pending, charged with 1 count of assault. Count of assault. It's pending, and he loses 75 games.
Yeah.
We got to figure this out, man. But the Astros are going to be under fire because they traded for the guy who has a pending count. He's not been proved guilty. He's innocent until proven guilty. But our society has changed to where he's guilty, 75-game suspension.
Yeah,
I don't know what the answer is there. I wish I could come out here and say that I have the answer. But for me, I think the answer is kind of like what the Chiefs did with Dwayne Bowe back when he got caught. And this isn't domestic violence, but it's mm-hmm. it's a court case. It's the law. It's things like that. And the NFL has a substance abuse policy. They'll mm-hmm. they'll suspend people for that. Mm-hmm. So what you do, I mean, right or wrong, whether you think it's right or wrong, I think right for any professional sports league is let the judicial system play out.
I agree.
Okay, when it's all said and done, you might look bad because you let a domestic violence, a woman beater, play on your team for 40 games, and then they find out that mm-hmm. you've been convicted, so now your 75-game suspension starts. But what's the difference?
Right.
Like, seriously, what's the difference? Because the Astros have just traded for this guy to make their team better. He's going to play. Mm-hmm. So maybe he'll play 40 games now this season or whatever, however many they end up playing yeah. in the postseason, however long that stretches. And then he'll be convicted. And it's like, so which part are we losing? Like, you're not gaining anything. You're still mm-hmm. letting him play. So why don't you just let it play out and then give him the 75 games?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. And I think Justin Verlander's right. Like, he's right to be critical of his teammate that did it on Twitter. And he's also right to say, we don't know about this yet. It's an ongoing case. We got to see what happens.
I've never understood that, and I agree with you completely.
Dwayne Bowe got caught with marijuana.
Yeah.
And they let the judicial system play out.
Right.
He was in Colorado, had it in his bag, got pulled over, got the, you know, this was before it was legal
right.
in Colorado. And then NFL would have come down, but the Chiefs said, we're going to suspend him 2 games as part of your policy. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. After it all went through courts, he got suspended 2 games.
Yeah. I mean, unless you've got some kind of rare scenario where you've got overwhelming evidence, you know, like Ray Rice gets accused of domestic violence and a video pops up of him knocking his girlfriend out an elevator. Okay, that's one thing.
That's
you've got
Tigers
evidence.
Guy. There was video that was there.
you know, you've got evidence there. But in all these cases, I never understood that. How we live in a country where the system is supposed to work in the manner that you're innocent until proven guilty, but in the court of public opinion, when it comes to these professional athletes or anybody else. Or even with actors and actresses now, you're seeing it now, or with TV personalities.
Yeah.
You know, somebody even whispers the fact that maybe you inappropriately harassed somebody back in 1986. You're done.
It's over.
You know.
But Hollywood's crazy right now with that.
Yeah, it's crazy right now with that. You know, but not getting too far off on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I get accused, say somebody calls the police tomorrow and says, Chad Hallock raped me. Am I going to be fired from my job because somebody accused me of being raped? Am I going to be out on my keister tomorrow afternoon because somebody cried rape or somebody said that I hit, somebody said I hit her or somebody, you know, I don't know.
You don't know anymore. Yeah.
You just don't know. And there may be absolutely nothing to it. Now, I'm not saying in some of these cases, and maybe not even in the majority, that maybe there was a crime committed at some level, but there's always these cases, and too many, I think, for the way that it works in terms of being ostracized and being, you know, labeled as something, and then they carry that with them. They may go through the process and be exonerated, but they carry that accusation with them.
Yeah.
That doesn't go, well, he served if he didn't do something. And some people take it from the standpoint of, well, if he didn't do anything wrong, then why'd they suspend him? Well, because somebody else said that he did.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can give you an example right now, but I think a lot of this would be more, I'd be more okay with it if it was like the Blue Jays that decided to suspend him
mm-hmm.
and not let him play. Not Major League Baseball automatically a 75-game suspension, because you can look last year, well, whatever, 2 years ago in KU men's basketball program.
Yeah.
Carlton Bragg was suspended because there were domestic abuse allegations against him. Huh. And they found video.
Until the video came out, they exonerated him.
It wasn't even close. Like, that did not happen. Yeah. So, yeah, it didn't happen. So he was back. And
she attacked him.
And now you've had a guy sitting on the bench, and that was KU's decision because they wanted to let it play out and make sure everything was kosher.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different in college, probably. You got to make sure eligibility and all that stuff stays intact. But there's an example of it didn't happen. So now we have examples of, you know, false accusations and things like that. Like I say, I'm not saying that this didn't happen with Osuna. Nobody knows. I don't know. You don't know.
Right.
People that know are Osuna, the woman, and God, you know.
And until we know for sure, why are we passing judgment?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I'm not trying to get into that right now. I'm trying to be objective here
Yeah.
And say, what if these charges get dropped? What if they find out that this didn't happen? He's lost 75 games of his career because of that. And, you know, he might get convicted of it. We don't know. But I just kind of think we need to wait a little bit sometimes and just let things play out, especially in this situation where you're losing 75 games.
Right.
And now the Astros are catching backlash because they traded for the guy who's now eligible because he quote-unquote served his time in the major leagues right now. He has. But the Astros are going to catch fire because they traded for a guy that's right now got a count of assault against him.
Well, is there a better case out there than Ray Lewis? How many people still to this day will tell you, well, Ray Lewis is a murderer?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis saw a fight where somebody got killed that he wasn't even in. And, yeah. You know, he was there. He was involved at some level as far as being a witness,
you know, obstruction of justice to things. And all
there,
that.
Some right. justice and yeah. everything like that. But Ray Lewis was never convicted of murder.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Lewis was never suspected as the murderer.
Yeah.
He was involved in some things that took place when a person lost their life. Yeah, there was a fight that broke out, what da 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 da. There's lots to it. But how many people still do they say, well, Ray Lewis, he shouldn't get in the Hall of Fame because he killed a guy? No, he didn't. But he's a murderer.
Yeah.
So somebody accused him of it. Whatever. Just an example.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know. I think it's unfortunate in a lot of different ways with the suspension, and then now the Astros are going to take it.
It's even worse in a lot of ways with college than it is with pro. They actually have to be even more careful about it than the professional leagues do, because if you don't hold a guy out after he's accused of doing something, and then you find out later on that he actually was guilty, then the NCAA comes back on you and makes you forfeit entire seasons.
Yeah,
because
that's why I was saying that with Bragg. That's why the KU holds him out, because they don't want to worry about
it's even worse
any
in
kind
college.
Of backlash if it happens. Yeah, that's not going to happen with the Blue Jays, but the Blue Jays don't have the opportunity themselves to say we're going to suspend you. The MLB just does it. It's just sorry. I mean, that's our policy. You're out 75 games.
Yeah. You're a K-State fan. You remember when an accusation really screwed up a bowl game for you guys.
Yeah. And that thing got blown way out of proportion.
Yeah,
and,
you know. But those are the things that happen, because people take advantage of how the system functions.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, letting it function the way that it functions allows those things to take place.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
So, anyway, we'll move on
and
from
we digress.
Roberto Osuna now. And move on to one last thing here, and people were freaking out last night on Twitter when they saw this.
Uh-oh.
It's
I love when people freak out on Twitter.
It says,
especially the president.
Yeah. I have the president muted on Twitter, so I don't have to read it.
I finally decided to get Twitter just so I could see what kind of stuff he's talking about.
Yeah. So, and this comes down, there's Buster Olney saying that this won't happen. But so last night there was a tweet that came out, and a guy says, Washington Nationals say that Bryce Harper is possibly tradable, that he's on the block, that they'll listen to offers for Bryce Harper. Duh. Like, everybody's, like, shocked. They're surprised. What? Whoa! What? Okay, the Nationals are in a tailspin right now. Mm-hmm. They have no chemistry. They're now third place. They're a game under 500. 52-53. They're in third place in the National League East, excuse me, and things just haven't gone right for them. Kelvin Herrera, they traded for real early, way before the deadline, and I don't think he's been doing as well as they would have liked. But okay, so Bryce Harper, it says that he's possibly could be traded. Okay, the guy's hitting .220 this year with 25 home runs, so it's kind of the same thing we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The power is there, but the rest of the numbers aren't. He's got 25 homers and 62 RBI this season, but he's only hitting .220. Okay, if you're the Nationals and you're heading in the wrong direction, why would you not entertain offers for Bryce Harper? Like, it doesn't make sense to not. Like, if somebody gives you a great offer, I'm going to entertain that, because you know what? If Bryce Harper really loves Washington, he can pull in a role as Chapman here. And, like, the Yankees can trade him to the Cubs. The Nationals can trade Bryce Harper to, we'll say, the Yankees. And he doesn't want to play for the Yankees. He really likes Washington, wants to go back. He's a free agent after this year. And he can easily say, oh, hey, I'm going to come back to Washington, just like Aroldis Chapman did when he got traded to the Cubs, won a World Series, went right back to the Yankees. There's no law that says you can't do those things.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could obviously be a situation where it could happen. Now, Buster Olney's saying on Twitter just recently here that Chelsea Janes heard first that she's a correspondent for the – she covers the Nationals for the Washington Post that said Nationals GM Mike Rizzo says Bryce Harper will not be traded today, which I didn't expect it to happen. But you can't – don't, like, flip out mad and be so shocked that he's possibly going to be traded, that there's – he's on the block, that they'll listen to offers, because it makes sense for the Nationals. If you're not going anywhere, you can get a lot for Bryce Harper from somebody that, because it would take a lot to get Bryce Harper, and you can get a lot, and maybe you get lucky and Bryce Harper comes back. Now you've got all these guys that you got from the other team and Bryce Harper. Now you've got Didi Gregorius and Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Yankees. We'll go back to that again. They got one of the best prospects in the majors, Didi Gregorius, to trade Chapman to the Cubs as a rental so the Cubs could win the World Series. The Cubs got what they wanted. They won the World Series. Yankees definitely got what they wanted with a young shortstop and Didi Gregorius, and Chapman's back. And they've got a chance this year to run and fight for a World Series championship of their own. So it's just like people need to kind of – we get so crazy sometimes about, oh, no, what – are you serious? Bryce Harper might be traded? Yeah, he might, because it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he might, because it makes sense.
Well, you traded Mike Moustakas. What are you doing? They traded him because it makes sense. Yeah. He's not going to be a free agent. He's
been coming
back
for a year and a half.
Yeah. Should have happened last year. Why is it crazy now?
Right.
It was like,
might have happened even sooner if he hadn't tore his knee up.
Yeah. So, it's crazy to me what some people are.
Oh, man.
Are going nuts about. Tommy Pham has been traded.
Who?
I'm trying to find out a little bit more about the guy.
Who's
Tommy Pham has 14 home runs, hitting .248 this year. Traded by the St. Louis Cardinals to the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Rays.
And I'm trying to figure out what that even really means. The Rays are 53-53. I guess maybe they're thinking they can do something, fighting for a wild card. I don't even know why that trade's relevant. Cardinals to the Rays. I mean, neither one of those teams I don't think are going to be relevant when the postseason comes along. So a lot of things going on with the trade deadline. Bryce Harper, they're saying, is not going anywhere today, but don't freak out if something like that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
9:57 here on Waterside. Wake up on Kitty Country 94. Thanks for tuning into the Sports Ticket today, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.